Welcome back to the Teaching in Tech podcast, where we continue to explore everything related to teaching, learning, and technology integration. Working with teachers, we see amazing things happening in classrooms every day. In each episode, we'll detail teaching strategies and technology integration ideas that are working. Also, special guests will join us to share strategies that have been successful with students. All right, so we are back for another season of Teaching in Tech with Alan and Chad. And this is season 4 already.
It's hard to believe. Year 4. Starting it off with a good one today.
Well, after a very short season 3 with only a few episodes there, we're hoping to get back to a normal routine and kind of get things back to the point where we can do these on a regular basis. So hopefully that'll be the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this episode, we have a little bit different setup than what we've had on any of our episodes in the past. We have our first guest that is actually in the world of administration and not teaching in the classroom. So coming to us as the Black team principal at McKinley High School, we have Aaron Dehart. Welcome to Teaching in Tech.
Well, welcome. I appreciate you allowing me to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely.
So let's just get started. I've gotten to know you pretty well as one of our administrators over the last couple of years, but I really don't know a lot about your career before you came here to McKinley. And I know you've been an administrator previously in another district as well. But why don't you tell us a little bit about just with this profession, and there's so many different paths and so many different ways that we come to this great profession. How did you get an education?
So I'll tell you a little bit about that. It started with a business degree from the University of Akron. That's how I got into teaching. Worked for a little bit in the private industry, in sales, selling Allstate. I was doing some financial planning for Allstate, sitting behind a computer all day long, helping people try to pick out some really cool mutual funds and insurance policies. So that's how it all got started.
Watching you interact with students on a day-to-day basis, I don't know if I can see you sitting at a computer and behind a desk all day and that suiting your energy level.
Sounds riveting.
It was the worst. I was looking for an opportunity to get up from behind that desk, and it happened. Someone came in, told me he was a substitute teacher for Kent City Schools, and he was on his lunch break, and I got to get back. And I said, well, tell me more. He says, well, all you need is just a 4-year degree and they'll take you on to be a substitute teacher. So I left on a very long lunch break from Allstate that day and drove down to Kansas City Schools to inquire about being a substitute teacher with my 4-year degree.
Wow, that's awesome.
So that's interesting. It's kind of taking more of the non-traditional route going into the private sector first.
A little bit.
What was that like getting your teaching credentials after already having your degree in the business world?
That was probably the best part for me. When I went down to the sub office, there was a gentleman there who was a superintendent by the name of Mr. Blosser. Well, Mr. Blosser was my brother and sister's principal at Oroville. So he knew me and asked me what I was doing, told him what I was doing. He goes, you shouldn't be doing that. You need to be in education. I said, you're probably right. So to be honest with you, he put me in a classroom the very next day. I did a down at Timken. I was down at Timken High School. I did a shadow, did it for 2 days. And by that third day, they had put me over with Miss Patrick at Allen Elementary. And I was a substitute teacher for her for a few days there. I went from there to McGregor and I did a half a year of a long-term sub for a teacher that went on maternity leave. So, I mean, I jumped right in there and, had a few folks who, believed in me and, said, you don't seem like you just want to be a substitute teacher. Seems like you want to get an education. And I said, absolutely. So they kind of showed me the way, I was able to get my teaching credentials and a master's degree in 15 months. I went to school full time, full board, drove down to Ashland University every single day because I wanted to be in education. So I was willing to do whatever they wanted me to do to be in education. And I did it.
That's quite the path. That's a great way to get into it. So I guess my next question would be, after those experiences as a sub, what was your first full-time teaching job?
So my first full-time teaching job was, I was sent over to Crenshaw Middle School, and I got an opportunity to work with Miss Van Allman, Miss Pack, and then eventually Mr. Rafis. So I was there for 5 years. They had me coaching basketball. They had me coaching football, which was in my background. So to me, that was the best job in the world, to be able to impact kids through coaching and teaching. I had a lot of folks I looked up to in high school that did the same thing for me. I wanted to emulate that to these kids. So Crenshaw was my first stop. Stayed there until they moved the sixth graders back to elementary school. So then I went to Harder Elementary from there for 2 years, made it back to Lehman Middle School for a few years. And then at that moment, I ended up in Plain Local Schools for 4 years as a teacher, doing the same thing, teaching ELA. And then from there, as an administrator in Akron Public Schools for 8 years before I returned to Canton.
So as somebody who actually has taught middle school ELA for a couple years myself, and not well, I would add, but I was more of a science guy, but sometimes when you're breaking in, you know, you take what positions are offered to you and you do the best you can. I had at times a difficult time finding ways to make the content interesting to the kids. And for those who are reluctant readers, to get them interested in reading, those who didn't really have a lot to say, how to get them to write. What were some of the things you did to get the kids involved and excited about reading and writing?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't them reading Hatchet. I'll tell you that. Hatchet's a great book. Where the Red Fern Grows, awesome books. But a lot of the kids, you know, in our district, a lot of the young boys that look like me, they weren't into reading those types of books. So I would bring in a lot of my magazines from home, Sporting News, ESPN, Sports Illustrated, because, you know, you teach comprehension. It doesn't matter what kind of book you're reading or a magazine you're reading. You're still asking the same questions. What is the author trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. And I knew that those students were going to be tasked with trying to answer those types of questions on the OST, OGT at the time. So as long as they could tell me author's purpose, what the intent of the author was, they have earned the skills or gathered the skills that they needed to as a reader. So mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to listen to a gentleman, Alfred Tatum. He has a book out, Teaching Reading to African-American Males, full of strategies. And I studied that book, actually emailed him and asked him if I could steal his presentation. And he allowed me to do so because I thought it was that important to teach reading to African-American males. Mm-hmm. And I still do. I still do. They're still one of our subgroups that don't do as well as we would like them to. And I want to continue to push in that direction. So.
No, that's outstanding. I actually, as you bring that up, a couple of things that kind of strike me. The first, as you mentioned, the idea of bringing in, you know, ESPN, the magazine, Sports Illustrated, and things designed to be high interest. You know, a lot of times when we have those informational texts, a lot of people look at that as being like the boring part of language arts. But, you know, for a lot of us that are interested in sports, that's a form of informational text.
You better believe it. Absolutely. I knew that if I can get, it was like a hook. You know, back then we were doing SSR all the time. Mm-hmm. And at that time, if I can get a young man or a young lady to sit down and read that magazine and as many articles as they could for as long as they could, I've done my job because I know that they're reading. And I never would have gotten them to read Hatchet and Where Red Fern Grows for 20 minutes successfully. It would have been a fight. So giving them some trust and some freedom to continue to do the SSR, but with something they were interested in, I think it made all the difference because started passing tests. They started passing tests. And I think it's because they had access to those skills in order to do so.
Uh-huh. You know, I had an experience where that this whole idea of choosing the right materials became really clear to me. Are you familiar with an author, Walter Dean Myers? Wrote a book called Slam. it was about basketball. And then he also had several other short stories that were based on urban setting. Okay. And so I was teaching a reading program when I was in Fremont City Schools, and they set the different books that you would have to read. And it was, I had never seen it so clearly in my life. You mentioned for some of those African-American students, when we went through the unit that used Walter Dean Meyer's book, it really piqued their interest. And they were actually disappointed when it ended and we went back to a more traditional novel, which to me, I didn't really see a big difference in interest between the two. And they were not at all excited about moving on. They wanted more stories from that author. So when you can find something that they can connect with that relates to the world that they're used to growing up in, it really does make a big difference for getting their attention and helping them to learn those skills that we want them to learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's why Dr. Tatum was so important to me. It's almost like he gave me a list of books that young African-American males would be interested in, and always trying to seek those books out in the library or order them from the Stark County Library just to have supplemental resources in the classroom. So I always sought out folks like that who could help.
Oh, yeah. And even here at McKinley, you know, shout out to Miss Engler and the work she's done with Jason Reynolds, and some of our kids here had the opportunity to meet him, you know, as a male African-American author who writes some, you know, really high interest stuff for our students. So.
Absolutely.
So after the days as an ELA teacher, how did you end up making the transition and moving into administration?
Well, I always said to myself, I felt like I could no longer make the same kind of impact I wanted to just in the class. It felt like I needed to go and make impact school-wide. So I had an interest in getting into administration, had some relatives that are in administration. Some of my mentors are in administration. Some of those folks were telling me, hey, you got the passion to do this because you want to make a difference outside of just your classroom. I love teaching. Teaching to me was seriously one of the most fun things in the world to do. To wake up every day knowing that you can make a difference in children's lives. I wanted to make a difference in more children's lives at the admin level. So I jumped in 2 feet, especially going from plain local schools to Akron Public Schools, complete different types of places.
Yeah.
But I've always known that I was an urban educator. My best years in teaching were Kansas City schools because I was able to make an impact. And those students told me daily I was making an impact in their lives. I didn't feel the same impact when I was at Plain. It's a little bit different culture there. The demographics are a little bit different there. But I wanted to get back into urban education, and Akron provided me with an opportunity to do so as an administrator. And I jumped in with both feet there. I was at Kenmore Garfield for 4 or 5 years, East High School for 2 years, Akron North for a year, Jennings Middle School for a year. So I did some jumping around there, and every experience was a good one. And then finally got the opportunity to come back home to Kansas City Schools.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, their loss is our gain, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
I'm just curious, comparing Canton City, which is considered one of the urban eight, but you know, we've somewhat declined in size and aren't an enormous district like maybe some of the other districts around the state. And then you go to a district like Akron, which is Akron being a bigger community than Canton. How much role do you think in two similar districts in terms of demographics, but one being bigger than the other, do you see much of an impact just based on the size of the district, how that affects the day-to-day and the overall experience for the kids?
Well, with Kansas City Schools being smaller, they're going to see more of the administrators. I see more administrators here at Kansas City Schools than what I ever saw at Akron Public Schools. I get an opportunity to see our superintendent, Mr. Talbert, on a weekly basis, whereas sometimes I never see the superintendent up there until we had a large district meeting. Mm-hmm. So the impact of seeing, you know, central office is more relevant here in Kansas City Schools because you're working alongside the people who are in that central office. Whereas a big district like Akron, there's several layers that you have to go through before you even get a conversation with a superintendent or a curriculum specialist. It just didn't happen because the enormous size of the district.
Yeah. You know,
22,000 students up there. I can't tell you the amount of schools and the amount of administrators, it is a large district. And each high school there kind of runs as its own little community. It has to, because it's so large. Yeah. So the people you work with, your fellow administrators at the building level, are the folks that you see the most, and similar here, but you very rarely saw central office personnel in a big district like that.
It almost sounds somewhat isolating, you know, when you're talking about the size, and then here we're over collaborating, you know, amongst all the buildings and as an entire district. So it's an interesting take. Never thought about it like that, being triple the size essentially in regards to enrollment.
So but what I was thinking about as you mentioned that, just the difference in sizes, when you go from a district like Canton being the size that we are and trying to get that message across, then you go to a district the size of Akron, it's that much bigger. Imagine when you're looking at some of these districts, like you go to a city the size of Cleveland, and then you think about like Chicago Public Schools or New York City. And there's just so many people involved, so many people needed in leadership roles, and trying to keep that message consistent. I can see where, as you described it, schools kind of have to function, not on an island necessarily, but almost just kind of as their own entity, because, you know, every day keeps coming regardless of whether that message is understood or not.
Absolutely. Yes. That's what we felt. And that's exactly how it is. It is.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the goal is right to prepare students for the future. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, you could probably narrow down to, you want to provide them the best opportunity to be successful. And so you just kind of operate and do what you can to make it happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry, Chad, you were going to go ahead and say something.
Oh, no, I just, the only thing I was thinking as he mentioned that idea of being, you know, a lot of contact with the people that you work with daily, I think it is interesting. I mean, you had mentioned your background in coaching, you know, which, you know, Alan has coached, you know, soccer. I've spent some time coaching baseball and basketball, and that, you know, camaraderie that you get amongst the coaching staff. I mean, you do get that same thing, with your colleagues, whether it's an admin staff, whether it's a teaching staff. I know you mentioned your time in the middle school. I was part of middle school teams for all of those years. And, you know, you become, you know, confidants, support group, all the different, you know, things that you need to get through day by day when you're working with kids, and the high energy that goes with that. So that's pretty cool, that the relationships that come from that.
Yeah. And that's kind of in my position now, being a team principal. My team is my team. I mean, we're all in this together. We're all rowing the same way. And we're a little bit competitive. That's the coaching part that's in us too.
As you should be.
As we should be. You know, we want our kids to stand out on the black team. We want our kids to be known for doing great things on the black team. And we realize there's two other teams and we want to be better than them. So therefore, we stick together. We come up with ideas together. It's the same thing like game planning with all your other assistant coaches. How are we going to be successful tonight? We do the same thing on our teams, and I love it. And I can tell I have a really good team, and I keep telling that every single day I see them. I believe in them, trust them. I think they're really great for our kids, and I'm very happy and proud to be the leader of this black team here at McKinley High School.
And a little bit of healthy competition, I think, is always a good thing. You know, like, if we're not keeping score, then how do we know how we're doing? So
there you go. There you go.
I think it raises a bar for each other. And, you know, honestly, I think that's a good way to kind of lead into our big topic for today, right? You came in and we had restructured McKinley the year prior, and then restructured into three teams. Your first year back in the district, my first year as one of the team principals. And you had the opportunity to kind of take on a pilot program by collaborating with Harvard Proving Grounds and Stay in the Game with the Browns organization, working on attendance. And really, we want that, you know, when you talk about elevating that bar, that was one of the big bars that you wanted to focus on. You want to kind of give us a little bit of background on that?
Sure. So like you said, I had the opportunity 2 years ago to work with Harvard Proving Ground. It all started root cause analysis, trying to figure out a problem of analysis, which was attendance. We had kids who were nearing chronic absenteeism. And as we all know, you have to be here at school in order to be successful. So working with Harvard, and it's hard to believe it took us a year to come up with a root cause analysis to finally say, hey, I got it. Let's come up with this postcard initiative. What is that? Well, we want to do something with attendance that's not punitive. These families already receive punitive measures and conversations from community workers and truancy officers. And I said, how about we develop something to where we're trying to develop a relationship with students to figure out what barriers they're having to get to school? Is it transportation? Is it food? Is it social problems with other students? So part of our initiative was when a student missed a day of school, we would give them a postcard and a personal message on the back, letting them know just how much they were missed, just how much they were valued, and trying to take the punitive measures out of attendance. Let them know that, hey, we noticed you weren't here yesterday, and we want to see if you need anything from us to support you. It went along really well to a point now to where we're going to actually have this pilot go to the other two teams in the building. So all teams in the building will now do the postcard initiative, try and develop that relationship with students to say, hey, attendance is very important, and we noticed that you weren't here. Is there something that we can help you with to have you come back into the building and give you the success that you need? So excited about it. Excited about it.
No, I think the idea is great. Even when you guys presented the pilot, the premise of obviously attendance is the most, it's the initial piece, right? We got to get you here to teach you. But, you know, I think when you talked about the root cause and you started to go through that analysis, and then the idea popped of not making it a punitive thing, right? And flipping it to be positive. What type of interaction, like what type of feedback did your kids give? Because so often we're telling them that you're not doing well because you're not here, but instead this postcard said, we're just glad you're here today. We missed you. What kind of feedback?
Well, I tell you, and I hope I don't get emotional, but some of the first ones that I received were students telling me they had some sort of a health issue, some sort of a mental health issue. And that's why I'm not coming to school. And they had never talked to anyone about it. And so I took that conversation and was able to match that student up with one of our, in-house ComQuest agency to get that student the help that they truly needed. So that was a breakthrough for me. Just to realize when you start talking to kids about why they're not here and they give you the real reasons why they're not here, man, it hits home. And in the past, someone just would have given that kid a letter. Someone would have told that kid, you need to go to court. You and your parents have answered for you not being in school. But what we did was we put that person with a mental health expert in order to get through some of the things they were going through to get them to school on time. Some of the other students, this school's so big, I never noticed that you knew I was gone. Wow. So we tried to do with the three teams, making a smaller school, but we truly had students say, I didn't realize someone even noticed that I wasn't even here. And so that was impactful for me as well. And you forget about that. You forget about what truly is the most important thing. It's the relationships that you build. And that postcard was a major relationship builder with students through attendance, but we found out so much more just by having that conversation with them. So it was very impactful. That's why when the other team said they would like to, because I want them to experience some of the same things that we experienced in the Black team.
That's awesome. And you know, you talk about like, that just sounds even like knocking down a barrier, right? I'm thinking about on the other end, if I were to receive the letter court, right? You almost become more defensive.
Sure.
But when you come in and say, hey, you know what? What's going on? A whole different door opens.
Absolutely. And I enjoyed taking the cards. It got to the point we put a system in place where the teachers who were given a duty in the Black team office, they would write some cards out and just sign it the Black team. But I always wanted the pleasure of delivering the card. I wanted to have the conversation with the students. I wanted to put a name with a face and have that conversation. And that part, even though it was about missing school, the positive that came out of that day of missing school was so much for me, because it started having conversation while you're not here. And it's it's relationships. And, you know, we found out some kids, you know, certain people in their class or whatever, I don't like them, they don't like me. Well, okay, we can figure that out. Let's go talk to our counselor. Let's get you in the same class with a different time period of the day. We'll get you here more often. So we did some of those things too, but it's really a conversation starter. And once kids start being honest with you about why they're missing, then you can do something about it. If they just don't show up, we just take it as, oh, they don't want to come to school. But there's always a reason behind those kids not coming to school. You just have to ask the question.
You know, go ahead, Chad.
Oh, no, I was just, as you're describing that, I'm thinking about, even from somebody who normally would advocate for technology, taking a step back to the postcard.
Yeah.
It actually has an interesting effect, because think about, for a lot of these kids who do have attendance problems, how many times have they received a phone call home about missing message, work?
Gmail. Yeah.
How many times have they received a phone call about a behavior issue or a conflict at school? And so by sending that postcard with just a message, hey, we care about you, they can take that in and think about that without, and even if you call them on the phone and ask them, is anything wrong? Well, you know, there's a certain element, we all have a certain element of pride where we don't want to admit anything's wrong. Sure. So,
right.
You know, that's an interesting way just to kind of, in a non-threatening way, get that conversation started. And the ways that you've described, you start to find out there's a lot of things going on for kids that, you know, prevent them from getting there.
Absolutely. And that's a part of the other reason, talking about technology, you know, they had suggested we send these postcards home. Well, I'm like, no, that we send a lot of things home with kids, and how effective is that? I want to put my eyes on this other student and hand them this card and have a conversation. And we'll save a little money in postage too, because we don't really know if it's getting delivered to where it's supposed to be.
Right.
But this way, I'm handing it to you, so I know you got it. And then we can start that conversation. If we could do anything differently, I would love to see some of our counselors. I know they're really busy at this time of the year, but it would be really neat if our counselors could deliver some of these cards too, because they have a different skill set than some of us. You know, I can sit in with a counselor, but I'm not a counselor. Right. They have a different skill set. They can have a different conversation with students. And I would love to see that take place.
You know, but it's funny you say that. And I was just about to comment. I think one of the most probably underrated but most valued pieces of that was you delivering those postcards.
Yes.
Too often, I think that the principals are viewed as the hammer, right? Mm-hmm. And there's always a time and place, absolutely should be. But then seeing on the other end of, I still want you here. Like at the fundamental reason I'm doing what I'm doing is to make sure you're in this building receiving every opportunity possible.
Absolutely.
Obviously the counselors would be a great addition, but I don't want that to go without being said. Like, I think one of the most impactful pieces was you being able to find the time in the day to take the kid the postcard, because they look at it, right? You're the CEO of the team. They're like, man, that he found time to come find me. And I think that there is a value that is almost unspoken of that, you know, goes with that.
Yeah, I appreciate the perspective. Absolutely.
Every school that I've ever worked in, at the beginning of the school year, the principals always make an effort. We're going to get out. We're going to get in classrooms more this year. And the first week of school, you see them around the hallways and everybody's smiling. We're in the honeymoon phase. And then, you know, things start to amp up at school. You get kind of punched in the mouth, so to speak. And, you know, it just becomes very difficult because
absolutely
there's so much going on. And so to me, it kind of just, you know, echoing a little bit of what Alan described there, just the fact that you got these kids telling you, like, this school's so big, I don't even think anybody notices I'm here. And to have my principal of my group come and define me individually, that really does make an impact. So I think that's really cool.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a same reason I like to deliver those honor merit roll and student of the month. To me, those are very important things to do, is to make that contact with students. Absolutely.
I'm interested a little bit in the role that the Browns play with their stay in the game program. So I see a lot of those materials around the building. Our student lounge obviously has some graphics on the walls, and they help to put that together with funding. But beyond just what they donate, can you share with us a little bit about the stay in the game initiative and how that's impacted our school?
So stay in the game was around. It's been around before I was here. Stay in the game. I believe they have a beautiful student lounge that came along with Stay in the Game. But their impact with our program are the workshops and lessons that they offered in their sessions. So a lot of the things I was doing with Harvard, I have access to Stay in the Game the same way. I put together what's called a game plan. So every quarter I would report to Stay in the Game Network what our attendance calculations were. It lost me there for a second. So I would report that to them all the time. As far as resources, a lot of collaboration and network with other districts experiencing some of the same things that we are. So getting that opportunity to talk with others. This initiative with the postcard, I did the same kind of a meeting with folks out of Euclid, and there's another district down towards Cincinnati who are part of the Stay in the Game Network. They were so excited about our postcard initiative that they jumped on board and they were doing the same thing. So I had many meetings with them, just telling them what our process were and telling them the biggest impact was that hand delivery of that card to the students and getting that conversation started. So not only am I sharing it with you in this podcast, I've shared it with other districts in the state, and they're doing some of the same things that we're doing. And that was only possible through Stay in the Game, having that opportunity to network with those other districts. But yeah, they're really good. I would love to show you the resources that are available through it, because you would be simply amazed with the amount of attendance resources available from the Cleveland Browns. Stay in the Game, they do give us a lot of swag, but we use that as incentives. We were able to, you know, track attendance. We would have all kids, and we had staff last year take the pledge to improve attendance. I think we have probably one of our best staff attendance last year than
we did
in a long time. So they took the pledge seriously. We got with the kids. They took it seriously. So we would do a 10 and 20 day evaluation of where they are. And if they met certain criteria, we gave them a T-shirt that was provided by the Cleveland Browns organization, but also put their name into a hat, and they were given some swag bags at our attendance celebrations that we had. So all of those prizes, I mean, they were really nice prizes, but anything you can do to incentivize children coming to school is a great thing. And the Cleveland Browns have been very, very generous in helping us get that done.
Yeah, I was thinking about as you're, you know, describing like the just that connection of, you know, keeping up with the students, sending in that data to the people that stay in the game. And, you know, I've heard many different leaders that I've worked under, not only in this district, but also in others, have this a similar saying that what gets monitored gets done. And absolutely, I think that's a big part of what you have going with this push that you've made is, you know, you're monitoring this now, I'm monitoring just by taking attendance, but then following up. And not only that, there's other stakeholders and other partners involved, and you're starting to see some gains from that. So it sounds like a simple thing, but when you look at how many different directions that you can be pulled during a school day, you know, you really do have to choose the things you want to focus on monitoring and putting extra effort into, because you truly can't give equal attention to all of them.
Yeah. I tell you, it's a little bit different this year because Harvard's not on board with us this year, but the Cleveland Browns still are. Just the opportunity, I have to say, my fellow staff members allowing me to sit in a meeting with Harvard in a Zoom meeting for 4 hours a day, and knowing I have responsibilities with my team, but they backed me on it. They were there for me because I was unavailable because I was meeting. So I appreciate that too, which says that it's important enough to the whole district and this school to allow an administrator to sit in these meetings for hours to get the resources that we need to be successful. So it couldn't have been done without the help of everybody chipping in on that.
Yeah, it sounds like a team effort. Hopefully with Miles Garrett being back this year, we can get some good team efforts and take out the Steelers and the Ravens and some of those other teams across the
guy.
Hey, well, Chad, I think you need to stay on topic here, guy.
Yeah, you're going down. Wrong rabbit hole, Chad. Wrong rabbit
hole. Oh, Matt, Mr. DR, you don't got any black and gold in your office, do you?
Yes. It's over on this wall, not behind me.
Outnumbered. It is kind of frustrating though, because I just look across my office here at the wall, and when I see 1964, it just feels like such a long time ago.
Before Super Bowls, in case we're wondering.
Well,
but
there are four AAFC championships on there too. So you got to keep in mind, like, this is dating back prior to joining the NFL.
That's true too. Well, a lot of rich history there. Well, all right. Well, as we're starting to wrap up here, Mr. DeHart, we always like to ask anybody that joins us, big final question for anybody joining education, or hopefully not this point in the year, but maybe this point in their career, kind of feeling a little bit burned out. What would be some advice you'd give them?
Well, I'll speak to the burnt out person first. Someone that's been doing this for a while, someone who is starting to say, man, I asked a question the other day during professional development, why do you do this job? And there's a tendency for folks to say it's they pay me well, but if your first answer is not because I love kids and I care about kids, I know you went down a path that you need to be redirected and find your why again. So I would say that person who is feeling a little bit of burnout, you have to take some self-care. Self-care is definitely real. Take a look at yourself and rediscover that why. This job is too hard when you lose that passion of helping kids. And I hate to say it, because I had a mentor that tells me, he says, with adults and children, you can't save everyone. You can try, you can give it your best effort, but you're not going to be able to save anyone or everyone, sorry. But to the person who is burned out, you have to find ways to revisit your passion. And some of the exercises we're done with Purpose Driven is a great start, not only for our kids, but also for our teachers to rediscover their passion for what they're doing.
Yeah.
For the person who is brand new, probably the best lessons I ever learned was every day is a fresh day. Every day is a clean slate. Little Johnny, who drove me nuts yesterday, I can't hold grudges on little Johnny today. I have to let little Johnny have his moment yesterday, but we got to get little Johnny back on track today. And I have to be the adult in the room. I have to revisit my passion and say, hey, he's only acting that way because Johnny can. And it's my job to figure out how to work with all the little Johnnies in the world. So all the little Johnnies get a clean slate, and the Sallys too. Sallys get a clean slate too. I try to approach my job when I was teaching and as administrator with a little bit of humor. I love, if we're having a good time and we're learning and we're winning and we're successful, it's even better. But you got to have a little fun in what you do. And I try to do that. I realize we all have some pretty stressful jobs, but if you have a little humor and you know that you're doing it for the right reasons, you get through any day and every day, and you can't wait to get back here the next day. As Mr. Brown likes to say, we get to come back tomorrow.
I don't know about you guys, but I always felt like someone who taught middle school for quite some time, and you would have some of those days by the end of the day where you just were like, I just need a quiet minute to myself here. But it always seemed like when you had one of those crazy days where you had to really pump yourself up for the next day, that the following day always seemed to be a lot better. I never seemed like I had two of those days in a row.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was almost like you learned your lesson, right? If you misstepped that day, that was rough. Yeah. You weren't misstepping the second day. I sure as heck knew I wouldn't. Right? Yeah. I wasn't middle school, but mine was freshman, and that's not far off. So
no, it's not far off at all.
They're just bigger eighth graders, really. So
that's it.
Yep.
No, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was like, man, you always just try to have fun, and no matter what you're doing, you, if I was out picking up trash cans, I'd probably have fun doing that too.
Fair. Depends on who I'm doing it with too.
Well, with that being said, I definitely, McKinley High School, we're definitely fortunate to have somebody with your positive outlook and your positive approach here in the building. And it's definitely been interesting for me getting to know a little bit more about some of the things that you have been able to do prior to becoming one of our principals. So I definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you joined us today, Mr. DeHart.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Brown. I can always say that I get to do a podcast with TNT.
And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please remember to subscribe, rate, and write us a review. You can find all episodes of Teaching in Tech with Alan and Chad on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.